Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
It is Sunday night, and that means it's time for another episode of the Kicking Out Podcast. I'm Paul Zartman, joined this week by Austin Shepherd, because, again, apparently Tanner can't show up to do this thing anymore. I don't know.
He's not a fighting champion, Paul.
He's a paper champion.
Yeah. That's what happens when you jerk off the booker. Never mind.
Wow.
I don't know where I was going with that.
Not even a minute into this and we're gloves
that's
are
not,
off.
That, okay, as I say, it's not explicit, I just say.
No,
gloves. I don't know where I was going with that, but that's where I went.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So how we doing tonight, Shep?
Hey, we're doing good. My Colts had a field goal victory over them Denver Broncos. And last time I checked, there was this little short guy that used to join us on this podcast, and he's a big old Denver Bronco fan. Like when he comes, like when you see his background in his little room, there's a bunch of little Bronco guys in these little cardboard boxes. He's got little pennants and shit.
Yeah.
Who are we talking about? Oh, we're talking about Tanner. Yeah. Tanner was at the game today, and he witnessed his team cheating, which cost them the game. And if you watch the play, you know, Tanner's like, oh, they've called that thing 15 times in 50 years, is what I think he said in a group text to you and I.
I think so. But
if you watch the play, the long snapper gets absolutely mauled.
You won on a call that has been called 50 times in the last 15 years.
Yeah. So the call is leverage. And not only did they hit the long snapper, they went over the top of him. And that is a no-no. That you can't do that. That's cheating. So you deserve to lose. Don't be cheaters.
Majin says, I'm not allowed to call anyone a paper champ because my reign lasted shorter than Santino's time in the Rumble. Wow.
Talk
about gloves are off this week.
I think this is the second time in the KOP history that Majin and I agree on something.
Yeah. So we had some questions sent in before the podcast started that I want to touch on. It's from TGY. Just a question ahead. I'll be sleeping when this starts, 2 a.m. where he's from. Aren't you guys also a bit tired of these 4 to 5 person so-called all-star tag matches? I swear they're doing these for months. It's just a lazy solution to get tons of people airtime, but it feels like I'm seeing the same matches over and over again, especially with the women's roster.
Preach it, brother. Preach it. I feel like it's a point of the show where they have an open spot and they have these handful of performers that deserve to be on the show. Don't get me wrong. That's why they call them all-star shows or all-star matches. And they just said, well, we got this open spot. We got these group of women or men, and we're just going to throw the shit together, hit the wall, and let it go. You know, I think 1 week, last week, we decided, we're gonna pay them $500,000 if they win.
Yes.
Yeah, come on. Now, I thought at the end of the match and the backstage segment and the social media segment that made way more sense because the Bucks got the money and it's playing in their gimmick right now. It's playing in their storyline. So I like that part of it. But when they originally announced the match a week ahead or Sunday before, they said, oh, it's $500,000. Yeah, you know, come on.
10-man tag team match.
Yeah, that's just, I don't know. I feel like it's carny. It's cheap.
You want to say it, lazy booking.
It is lazy booking. It's like, oh, wait, I don't know what to do with these guys. So here we go, $500,000. It's just me.
Yes. Majin says, I love those matches. You're never going to make me hate good matches. Plus, in kayfabe, the money aspect is more incentive for that team to win.
Well, no shit, but it's not. They're not really getting $500,000.
Maybe they are. Oh, we don't know. You don't know.
Okay.
Do you work for AEW? But I don't know if take what Martin says seriously this week, because you know he did say he fell asleep during Dynamite, like shortly after it started, and ended up sleeping through the entire show. Meant to watch it back, but never got a chance to.
Yeah, it's happened to me. I can't give him shit because I've done the same thing. So,
yeah, but you've got kids. An excuse.
I do have kids, and they're at the age right now where they are. If my house doesn't catch fire the next week, I think it's a win.
That is a win.
That's a win.
Yeah.
If for some reason my house catches fire next week, I really just jinxed the shit out of myself, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
So
I'll be doing the podcast from we'll do a double location from your house because I don't have one. Yeah.
Okay. I think we should do a triple one from Tanner's house.
I don't want to drive all the way there.
Neither do I.
But, and I don't want to have a bunch of loser Bronco shit behind me either. Loser Bronco shit because they can't win. They didn't win today. Oh. They got beat by Danny Dimes. Fucking Danny Dimes. Fucking beat the Broncos. Danny Dimes!
Oh, shit. Hey, Shep, I got a question for you.
Might be the only time I'm cheering all year long. Yes, Paul.
We're not going to talk about the other. But, hey, what are we drinking tonight?
Can we drink more than one thing?
I don't care. You can drink as much as you want to. It's your house.
I think we did this last week. Was I drinking red wine last week?
I think so.
I think it was.
You were drinking, yeah, because it was your anniversary last week. And you chose to hang out with me instead of your wife.
I cooked her a badass meal. Actually, I cooked a badass meal today. I've never done this before. But I did braised short ribs over risotto in a red wine demi-glaze. Basically, I fucking cooked it. Holy shit, this fucking bug got in my drink. Are you shitting me, Bob? The fuck? All right, I'm going to get this thing out of my drink. There we go. Got it. All right.
I'm just going to leave this up the rest of the show. The whole the explicit logo.
So my new gig is on Sundays because kind of golf season is pretty much over. So
yeah,
I'm home every Sunday. So I'm doing a family dinner. So I'm going to do a family dinner that I've never cooked for the boys or the wife. So one of my favorite meals at a restaurant is braised short ribs. So Walmart had them and I was like, I got to try it. Right. So I cooked them. I give myself, like, if I could do it again, I'm obviously change a couple things, but for doing it for the first time, I give myself a good like 7-1 out of it. You know, we had some roasted veggies and nice little garlic herb risotto to go over the top, which is a fancy fucking word for just cooked noodles that I cooked in a bag. But I mean, come on. That's how we do it. So, yeah, we did that tonight. And so I'm like, I have a nice little piece of beef. I got to have some red wine. So I managed to find a bottle of red wine. in my wine fridge, and now we're drinking that. And then, oh, don't worry, I have a backup. Let me make sure it's still okay because I got that bug out of that.
Yeah.
Mm. Ooh, that was a little stiff.
The people listening to this, all they get's just the sound of you taking a sip.
It's kind of sexy, doesn't it?
Sure, if that's what you want to call it. Talking about going up to Tanner's and doing a triple shoot from his place, Majin says it's the only way to get Tanner on the show these days.
He's probably not wrong.
And you were talking about the end of golf season, so here's one for you, Shep. I'll let you go ahead and read that and comment to Majin on that.
Yeah, no charity golf tournament sucks for Shep. He doesn't get to go against Joe Nieuwendyk either. Yeah, Joe Nieuwendyk, I feel like I cost him a couple $100. I kind of feel bad because I had no idea who the hell he was. But I did apologize to him afterwards. And yeah, actually, as of, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, the hockey trip got canceled. So we are postponed till 2026. So in November, you guys are going to have to put up with me for every fucking Sunday because I will not be in Scottsdale. So
Majin's got to take a cold shower because you're agreeing far too much with him lately.
Yeah, well, Majin, the only reason I would take a cold shower, never mind. I mean, never mind. Next. Let's go on to the next one.
Yeah, go ahead and answer that.
Not knowing who John Nieuwendyk is, but knowing who a bum. Oh, fuck off. Come on. Marty McSorley's a fucking legend. A legend. Nieuwendyk's a good dude, too. Lanny McDonald's a good dude, too. But when it all comes down to it, those boys ain't going to be where they're at today without Marty McSorley. Stamp it, baby. All three of them really nice guys and had a really good time with them, but fuck off, Majin. There we go. Are we going to talk about wrestling?
Oh, yeah, we are. I was looking up news real quick. I couldn't find any real AEW-related news. Do you have anything that maybe I missed?
How about I text you and Tanner, Pluggo, and maybe JPJ this last night. What a venue in Indianapolis, Indiana, which is just
for GCW.
Just south of our hometown here, Polly.
Where Indy is.
I know. I feel like calling you Polly.
Okay.
You know, hour 45 minutes south, all of a sudden you have this amphitheater on the White River, which I know exactly where it's at, but it's not the amphitheater I thought of. So when I've gone to the White River Amphitheater Park, it's right behind the JW Marriott, which we saw that big blue hotel in the screen last night.
Mm-hmm.
This is off to the north side of it, and it looks like it was the original amphitheater, which is right on the river. And they put the ring down on the base, and then they had grass and rock making their way up, and the wrestlers made their entrance basically through the crowd down the grass and the rock. Thought it was a great venue. They had to start it early because obviously there's no lights there,
right?
And the biggest thing out of that was Cardona was there and said, "Fuck this place. I don't wrestle on grass. I don't wrestle on a river. And really, I'm supposed to be here next weekend for Wrestlepalooza." Thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I
other than that, I thought the show was mid. So.
Well, then. All right. That's not what I was going to say. But yeah, okay,
go,
I
go ahead.
I'm going to attempt to share my screen. I haven't done this before.
Oh boy.
But I have photos from GCW because one of my friends is the gentleman who rented the ring to GCW. So we're going to attempt this if I can figure it out.
Oh boy. Do 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 do. There you go.
There we go. Look at that.
Yeah, so you see what I'm talking about with the grass and the stone. Oh man, Megan Bain, Joey Janela tagged by I think last night.
Yep.
Happy couple.
Yes. Yes.
Do you ever think, like, when they're in the kitchen and Joey decides to mouth off, like, do you think he second guesses himself knowing that she could literally kick the shit out of him?
I feel like that's the case.
There's yeah, I'm good. Mad. Yeah. This is the promo we're talking about. You got volume on this there, big ball?
I don't know if it'll work.
I mean, be in Indianapolis till next weekend for WrestlePalooza.
There you go. See? Yeah, yeah.
Too good to be here at GCW on the fucking grass in the fucking rain by the fucking river.
I love how he edits out.
I made a mistake. I'm not supposed to be in Indianapolis till next weekend for WrestlePalooza.
Matt Cardona, ladies and gentlemen.
I thought that was a great promo for him.
Oh, absolutely. Cardona
I'm telling you right now, in the next, this might be one of my, here's a bold prediction for you, okay? In the middle of September.
Mm-hmm.
In the next 18 months, because that gets me two rumbles, okay?
Okay.
In the next 18 months, we see Matt Cardona on WWE television.
That wouldn't surprise me, honestly.
And the reason I'm going 18 months is, like I said, that gets me two rumbles. Because that'd be an easy way to bring him back. Easy way to bring him back. But
easy way.
He's so hot right now.
Oh, I absolutely.
Mean, you know, he even made a comment. He's on...
So is his wife.
Yeah, there you go. He's on Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7 with the coach on Tuesdays, I believe, is the Cardona day. And he's made numerous things where if the money's right, he's ready to go back. And, you know, he talks about him doing – he won't turn down any indie appearance if the money's right. If they make it – if they pay his fee – mm-hmm. He will go wrestle. He made a comment. He will go wrestle in front of three cousins and two pigs. As long as they pay his fee, he will go do it.
Yep.
So then even with Killer Cross coming on the indie scene, he's talked shit about him going, nah, he ain't gonna touch me. I'm the indie god. So I really think it's just sooner or later where they're going to need a mid card to upper card, not a main eventer, but a mid card to an upper card, you know, and they're going to call on Matt Cardona. Okay. He reminds me, let's just say LA Knight gets hurt this week and he's out for a while. Right. Yeah. I feel like he's a perfect LA Knight.
Okay.
Not a main eventer, but not a mid-carder. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. So Majin wants to know, what the hell does Janela have to pull both Penelope and Megan?
Well, read the rest of it, Paul.
Oh, he also says, guy must have a hog.
I mean, it's not good teeth.
So it's
either personality or he's hung like a fucking horse. That's all we can talk about.
Did you see? This has been a while back. Janela posted a video with a guy who's gotten popular on social media, who's got physical disabilities, and he's not all there in the head either. Where he's sitting on his cart just staring at Megan, and he's like, oh, we've adopted you.
I think I sent that to you and Tanner.
I had seen it before then, so I didn't remember who sent it.
Yeah. No, I've seen that. And I love that Janela plays with his fans like that. Probably made that young man's day. So
probably.
Yeah. But again, he obviously went from Penelope Ford to Meghan Bain. So he's got something that we need to know about.
Majin says, or he's a giver in the bedroom, Shep. You can read the rest if you want to. I'm not. We are.
Hold on. No. You're the administrator of the podcast tonight, just like Tanner would be. So you have to read all comments.
Tanner wouldn't read this comment. Are you kidding me?
Tanner would even put it up on the damn screen. He would act like it never happened.
Yeah. See, there's the difference. I
you at least put it up on the screen.
He's a lover going down, if you know what I mean.
Oh, all right. Yep. Next. Hey, Dynamite. So what happened in AEW this week there, big dog?
Some wrestling.
2300 Arena. One more Wednesday.
Yes. Before we go through the show.
Steffi says Majin. Come on. Thank you, Steffi. Somebody keep him in line.
Majin says, I know you tried to go through the show, but all I've seen recently are clips of Tony Storm paying tribute to Sandman during the match. I get you're in Philly, but why are you paying tribute to a bum?
Whoa. I don't like that comment. Thank you, Steffi.
Are we paying tribute to Tony's bum or a bum?
No. Sandman's not a bum.
No, he's not. Steffi's going to come unglued.
Yes. Steffi, attack. I did like the throwback to Sandman.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was I thought AEW did very, very well throwing homage to ECW over these last couple weeks with what they've done with Taz. They did this with Sandman. I know they even brought up Dreamer on the commentary at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a really good job. I mean, look, they did everything but say Paul Heyman, basically, okay? And they can't say Paul Heyman right now.
No, they can't.
So they did a great job. You're in a historic arena, historic bingo hall that is painted just so it doesn't look like shit like it used to. The front door is literally 60 feet from the ring.
Yep.
We saw that with the Death Riders coming in and out. Yeah. So I thought they did a hell of a job. And usually I can be pretty critical on this stuff. But I thought with the residency they had at the 2300 Arena, the way the cameras were set up, it made it look awesome. It sounded awesome in there. And I would give AEW a 8.9 out of 10 on this residency. And that's pretty high for Shep.
That's very high for Shep.
Yeah.
Shep normally doesn't go over 7.5.
No, I didn't do that on my own food tonight.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to go
my wife out of sides. Just joking. She didn't watch this, so she wouldn't know.
This will be the one time she decides to watch it, and you'll end up, you know, in big trouble when you get done.
She needs to learn how to roast veggies.
All right. Well, we're talking about Tony Storm and Sandman. Let's go out of order because we can do whatever because Tanner's not here because he's crying.
Do whatever we want
somewhere.
Oh, could you imagine riding home from Indianapolis to Fort Wayne, Indiana today with Tanner after that football game? His wife just must be miserable.
Oh, man.
Hopefully she brought her AirPods and she's listening to a freaking chocolate on tape so she doesn't have to listen to him, bitch.
You know what that car ride home is for her? Just the explicit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just him. Beep, 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 beep. Broncos. Beep, 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 beep. Colts. Beep, 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 beep.
Like I said, she's got her AirPods in listening to a book on tape. And what was that? What was that movie? Johnny Depp, Chocolate, or whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about. The love movie.
The love movie with Johnny Depp. That
isn't it called Chocolate? Chocolate, chocolate. Everybody called it chocolate. It was funny.
I don't know.
You're going to make me Google this shit, aren't you?
Or we could talk about Tony Storm versus Sky Blue in a Philadelphia street fight.
You mean a street fight, insert name here?
Yeah, insert city named street fight. Yeah, but at least this was, you know, nice because it gave us that ECW vibe.
Okay, hold on. Just so I'm not a crazy boy. In 2000, it was Johnny Depp and Chocolat. Chocolat.
Right, okay.
There you go.
Never
seen it. I'm not crazy.
Never heard of it.
But I'm pretty sure Tanner's wife listened to it on the way home because she don't want to listen to him. Anyways.
We don't want to listen to him when we're here.
Yeah, insert City Street Fight, Tony Storm, Sky Blue. Love the new... I think I've said it for 6 months. I love the new gimmick. Love the new dark side of Sky Blue. This match was good. It had some quirky spots, would you say?
Kind of like Sky Blue getting a little too excited with a staple gun?
You know what? I did not mind that staple gun because when she hit the first two and the camera zoomed in and I actually saw the staples there, I'm like, holy shit. She really used a staple gun.
She really used a staple gun.
She really used a staple gun. Now, if the camera zoomed in and there was no staples there, then I'm like, all right, that's some bullshit. And then she turned around and did the front side. One of the staples fell out. One of the staples stayed. I get it. The fifth staple, if we know where that's going, we usually call that the five hole in baseball. I didn't see the staple. I don't know if it – obviously, it probably didn't go in there. So, other than that, though, I thought it was it was a pretty good spot. Mm-hmm. Especially – and the cameraman did it great with her rear end hanging through the ropes there, and she went pop, pop. And the cameraman saw, and then you literally saw two staples there, and I'm like, oh, pretty good spot.
Yes, yes. Majin says they also say that in hockey too, Shep.
The five hole, yes. I get it.
Yes.
I get it.
Yes.
Baseball is more American than hockey, though. Hey-o.
Yeah, hey, one wraps Majin, up and the other kicks off.
Hey, Majin, when's the last time the Canada won the Stanley Cup? Just ask me that one. Just fill me in, bud. That's why we call it baseball. Oh, Paul left me alone on this one, huh? Thanks, Paul. Appreciate that.
Kicked myself.
Oh, he's back. He's back. Paul's back.
I hit the wrong button. I got a new mouse, and it's got fancy buttons on the side of it. And...
Oh, I thought literally you, when I made the bad comment about the Stanley Cup and Majin, you like literally left me hanging on my own.
Yeah, I was going to leave you hanging. No, I hit the wrong button. I gotta play with things before I start doing things. Otherwise, I screw up. Majin says the 90s, but the majority of the teams are made up of Canadians.
We could go down a rabbit hole. We probably shouldn't. So
we're here to talk wrestling, not hockey. Wrestling.
This is an all genre podcast. I feel like it is tonight. I mean, we're going to talk about wrestling, but
most nights anymore.
If you want to talk hockey, you want to talk NASCAR, you want to talk baseball, you want to talk football, go ahead, drop a comment. We'll shoot the shit. I got nothing but time, baby.
I don't want to talk.
How about football? You want to talk football, Paul?
I don't want to talk football.
Did you guys lose 41-10 today?
17.
Oh, okay. Well, that's 41 was correct, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You're ready for Shadur, man. Put him in.
I'd rather talk baseball because at least we beat the White Sox.
That's true. I mean, that's not hard to do, but.
Not anymore, no. But
yes, Steffi, Kyle has made it. He is on to the next one. I started watching that race last night. I had GCW on the side screen, and I'm not going to lie. I had a couple libations. Next thing you know, it was 3 o'clock in the morning and I saw Joey Logano won. So 500 laps is a lot for me to watch nowadays.
Yes, Steffi.
Yes.
20-17.
The Eagles beat Taylor Swift.
Mr. Taylor Swift. Yes.
Sorry. Mr. Taylor Swift.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, are we going to make a bet? Does he have to take her name? Is he going to be Travis Swift next year in the NFL?
No, but she's going to stay Taylor Swift. She won't take his last name.
No, she won't. Yes. Yes. I don't know what they did to the track, Steffi, but it literally chewed the tires like an angry Tanner after the Broncos lost. Let's put it that way.
Majin's trying to get us back on track here and talking AEW. Hey, Shep, does the eventual MJF versus Hanger match where MJF uses his contract and wins the title, does that need the Tokyo Dome?
Absolutely. If you're going to elevate these two individuals, what bigger stage can you do it? Yes. Does AEW have four PLEs on some big stages? Absolutely. And they've done a really good job of late. But I don't know if you're going to make a title change. And I feel like if you're going to cash in on this contract, which, you know, reminds me a lot of Money in the Bank, right? If you're going to cash in on this contract.
You said it, not me.
No, I'm just call a spade a spade. If you're going to cash in on this contract and you're going to have a title change, what bigger platform other than WWE could you do this on? The fucking Tokyo Dome. 70,000 people sold out where degenerates like me get up at 4 a.m. and start watching the show.
The Tokyo Dome.
And I feel like any Americans that are fans of New Japan, especially when it comes to Wrestle Kingdom, I feel like they get up at 4 a.m. and fold laundry like I do every year. Like I literally tell my wife, get me a mound of laundry, throw it in front of the TV, I'll fold it because I'm up at 4 a.m.
And then you go to work.
And then I do go to work at 8 o'clock. And I do have it up on my work computer with no volume on and then kind of rewatch it when I get back. But anyways.
I agree, same way you watch races when you got to work up on the computer screen muted. Yep.
I try not to miss much. But I just think it would mean a lot if you're going to elevate these two guys to have it at the Tokyo Dome. Now, I know there's a relationship there with New Japan. We all know that. How mm-hmm. we spin it to have these guys be there since neither one of them are, you know, affiliated with New Japan right now. I don't know how you spin it, but there's a way they can do it. There's a way they can do it. So, you know, I can see MJF saying, you know, hey, we're not going to have it in New Jersey. We're not going to have it. Well, Texas or Hangman's from West Virginia, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say Texas. I would say, hey, we're not going to have it in West Virginia. We're not going to have it in New Jersey. We're going to have it in a neutral spot. We're going to go across the pond to the Tokyo Dome. I mean, you can do it something like that. I was going to say Hangman was from Texas, but obviously he's nice from like West Virginia or something. But.
Yeah. Majin says, just going to say Wembley holds more. They've done great there too. No way Japan would let them hold it there without involvement.
If it helps sell some tickets, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I would say Tony has a little bit of say so in that just because of his involvement of late.
A little bit.
I mean, one of his top guys just won the G1, right? So,
top guys out. What? Oh, sorry. We're not talking about them yet.
Different guy. So, yeah. I think you can spin it.
But all right, speaking of Hanger, we saw Hangman Adam Page take on Josh Alexander to kick off Dynamite. No surprise here. Hangman picks up the victory. After the match, Page grabs a microphone, says he doesn't spill a gallon of his blood to win the AEW World Champion, just for MJF to keep changing match stipulations or deal with what the Don Callis family has been doing to him. He says the most important word in All Elite Wrestling is wrestling. Fletcher's music hits and he makes his way to the ring. With Callis, he says, as while Page holds the AEW World Championship, the Don Callis family runs AEW, but there's a more important matter at hand. He says he is yet to hear Page respond to his challenge to an AEW World Championship at All Out that he issued on Collision this past Saturday. Fletcher says he's heard similar sentiments throughout his career, then says he decides when his prime is and he's ready to carry the weight of his world on his shoulders, AEW and a world championship. Page says if Fletcher truly wants an AEW World Championship match at All Out, then he can have it. But he needs Fletcher to do it alone and find himself some socks. Fletcher agrees to Page's terms and tells Page that he will say his full name at AEW World Champion.
I think Fletcher is a good way to build up to MJF.
Majin thinks Fletcher's going to hold the title in the next year and a half.
I don't disagree with that, but I think right now, building up to MJF, we need a middle guy. Fletcher's a guy that holds that mid-card stuff right now. Mm-hmm. So if him and Hanger throw off a banger of a match on whatever pay-per-view or whatever, and he takes the L, it doesn't hurt him because Hangman's the world champion, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's a good middleman. And I think Fletcher takes him to the extreme, takes him to the max.
Okay.
And out of your well, out of your AEW originals, Hangman, yeah, Kenny Omega, Maxwell Jacob Freeman, the next guy to hold the world title that's not an original is Fletcher. Absolutely. 100% agree. Fuck, that's like seven times Maj and I have agreed upon. Son of a bitch. What's happening?
Yeah.
And yeah. By the way, Majin, what did I check off on your bingo card? I saw that, by the way. I'd love to know this.
Another spot on my KOP bingo ship. Getting close to another one. I didn't know we had KOP bingo cards.
Well, Tanner doesn't tell us everything. He had
that. I mean, is one of those spots we make it through an entire podcast without Shep saying the F-bomb?
Oh, hyping up the Tokyo Dome. Yep. Yeah, I'm going to do that almost every week.
Yeah, so you might as well check that every week.
Look, we're in the Midwest of Indiana, and we're going to have our Indian summer here for the next 4 weeks, and then it's going to get fucking butt-ass cold. So in January, that's one thing I can look forward to is watching that in the butt-ass cold with the heat on, the fire on. I mean, it's the only thing I had to look forward to in the middle of fucking January, early part of January. Sorry.
Majin says, sucks for War Daddy, as this was supposed to be him, but he got hurt again. That's where the guy is cursed. I'm starting to think so. Comes back, barely does anything, gets injured.
So hold on. Let me ask you a question. And I think I sent this to you and Tanner. And I'm not accusing him of it, and I hope it's not true.
Oh, you were accusing him of it.
But, I mean, it makes sense, though, doesn't it? When you do performance-enhancing drugs, it takes a toll on your body.
It does.
So I feel like, I mean, the guys always look like $1 million, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Chiseled out of stone. Kind of looks like me. Just saying. But it feels like every time he gets physical with somebody, something happens. So okay. It's like, has it really deteriorated his body enough where he can't do this anymore? Just
sucks for someone so young.
It does. It does. You know, which sucks because he did that whole season of American Gladiators and didn't get hurt. I mean, they have foam pads and balls you land on, but
that's because American Gladiators is fake.
Correct.
Wrestling's real.
I'm just saying there's got to be something there that all of a sudden, as soon as this guy gets in the ring and gets touched, he tears something.
Does he have Punk disease? I mean, moving on.
Punk's been around for a while lately.
That he has. Moving on in the show known as Dynamite, Mercedes Moné and Emery Sakka versus Riho and Alex Windsor.
I fast forward through this son of a bitch. I'm not going to lie. I fast forward through it, Paul.
For what, 2 minutes?
Yeah. I got up, made a drink, and I was like, oh shit, it's over.
Yeah. Riho and Windsor pick up the victory here. Thank God. We saw both Moné and Sakura tap out. So I'm okay with that. She can lose. I'm fine with that. That makes me happy.
It's one of your favorite performers. Do we need to go there? Paul?
Look, I think everybody in that group text yesterday was just shitting on me.
I never said one word bad about you.
You didn't say anything, and neither did Pluggo. I appreciate you two. The other two, on the other hand, were a bunch of jackalopes who drink the Mercedes Moné is the best female wrestler in the world tea.
Hey, speaking of those guys over there at Two Beards, fucking Pluggo trimmed his beard.
I haven't seen that yet.
You haven't seen that? Oh my god, you gotta go look at that. He looks weird.
Mine too, but you can't tell. So you know.
No, he trimmed it. He trimmed it high and tight, shorter than you.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow.
Anyways, fast forward through this match. It was okay. Uh-huh. Whatever. I made a drink during it. It's fine.
That's the perfect time. It's a bathroom break match. Anytime.
Not Windsor wins. Wow. That's funny.
Yeah. And Mercedes ain't even top five in the world. She ain't even bottom five in the world. She is the worst of the worst.
Now, hold on a second. I wouldn't put her in the top five. I think there's five female wrestlers that are better than her right now. I would put her in the top. I'd put her in the top 10. I'd put her in the top 10. Not in the top five, but she's somewhere between 6 and 10.
All right. We're doing this. So give me your top five.
Toni Storm, Charlotte Flair, Natty Neidhart. This is overall. Was that three?
Yep,
that's three. Okay. Bailey. Now, this is all in-ring work only.
Yeah.
That fifth one's a tough one. There's a lot right there that could be. My fifth one. Boy, there's so many. My fifth one. Oh, shit.
Now, of course.
I know she's hurt right now, but my fifth one's got to be Liv Morgan.
All right.
That's a solid top five. That is a solid top five.
That is. I'd go
Athena. Athena would be number six, Majin, for me. She was on the fence, and maybe I give her a little bit of the raw end of the deal because we don't see her on mainstream television like we should. I agree. But yeah, she would definitely be in my top 10.
Majin's got Athena, Io Sky, Toni Storm, Charlotte Flair, and Liv Morgan. She's honestly improved a lot and made the title mean something far more than Rhea did in her two reigns. I would go Athena, Tony, Liv, Natty Neidhart, not Natalya, Natty.
Yep, that's a difference.
They are two different people. Boy, for that fifth one though,
Bailey's had too many banger of a matches.
Yeah, the last five. It's Bailey.
It's Bailey. And I love this new character she's got, the kind of the split personality in your head talking thing. I think it works well for her. So
AJ Lee just better watch out, because remember, Punk digs crazy chicks. Do you remember that t-shirt?
I do remember that t-shirt.
Okay.
I do.
All right. Anyway, FDR, Stokely Hathaway make their way to the ring. Dax Harwood telling Christian Cage that FDR's match against him and Adam Copeland at All Out could have been a dream match. He asks who wants to fight and gets in the face of a couple of fans, then shoves a cameraman and beats down a couple of crew members with Cash Wheeler. One of those fans, I think I sent this to you guys, was somebody who just absolutely despises AEW. And I saw a report from SRS. The dude bought a ticket literally just to go shit on AEW during a live show.
So he wasn't part of the show?
No. So that whole "you blocked me" was legit because Dax blocked him on social media.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah, good for them. Play stupid games, get stupid prizes, right?
Exactly. Ricochet, Shelton Benjamin. Ricochet picks up the victory here. Thanks to Benjamin discovering Ricochet's scissors and rips them in half. But Bishop, Khan, and Toa Liona appear at ringside. Khan distracts the referee, allowing Liona to clock Benjamin and Ricochet to pin him for the win. So, of course, Ricochet can't pick up a victory on his own. Ever.
I don't like the gate. Is it Gates of Destiny? Is that what they're called?
Gates of Agony.
Gates of Agony, same thing. I don't care for those guys. I didn't like them when they were with your buddy, Brian Cage.
No, he's your buddy.
Was your buddy? You and him dress alike. That was funny. That made me laugh. I guess stay with these guys is okay. It gives them something to end up doing a triple threat with the Hurt Syndicate. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know why the Hurt they moved away from MGF so quickly. I mean, I probably know why. But they're gonna need something. You know, they got physical with MVP, which he hasn't been physical too much. He can do a match here or there. So we'll probably get that trios match between Ricochet, Gates of Oblivity or Blavity or Oblivity, whatever you call the shit.
Agony.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, it's agony watching him.
That thing you're in when Mama Wayne's not around.
Oh, Mama Wayne, she just left. And my fucking legs are sore. I'm just telling you. She stretched me harder than Stu Hartwood in the dungeon. So...
Wow.
Here we go. We're gonna get that. We're gonna get that trios match down the road. Obviously, probably the next pay per view. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Main event time: Death Riders and the Young Bucks versus the Ops, Birdie King and Bandido in a $500,000 10-man tag match. And as we kind of
$500,000.
That's what Shep's got under his pillow.
Shit, I wish. If I did that, I'd be doing this podcast from the freaking Bahamas in the water with Mama Wayne sitting on one shoulder.
Electronics don't do well with water, Shep.
Yeah, not when you have $500,000 and you can make some waterproof table.
$500,000 is not a lot of money, believe it or not. Not in today's society.
I can still have a hell of a time on it, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, but, you know, back when we were younger, I won't give away a date, but when we were younger.
Speak for yourself, Paul. I'm a young buck.
Pun intended?
No pun intended.
Okay. But when we were kids, there, I'll put it that way, $500,000 would have bought a lot.
Oh, no shit. Yeah.
You could have bought like 6 of the houses you're living in right now and still had money left over.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks to inflation, Obama.
We're not getting political.
I just made that. I just threw that name out. I could have said, I could have said Obama. I could have said Biden. I could have said Trump. Just whatever. It was funny. I
could have said Bush.
I should have said Clinton. Clinton loved the Bush, by the way, if you know what I mean.
I did not sleep with that young intern.
No. It was, he did not inhale.
I was up all night.
Okay. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
DX reference. Yeah, I hope you've seen that.
I have.
Okay.
I was talking about when they got on him for smoking the marijuana, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, it happens. Are we talking wrestling? What were we talking about?
Yeah. Death Riders and the Bucks pick up
main event. Main event. Here we go.
The win here. After the match, the Bucks collect their money, having agreed with Moxley beforehand that King, the money that they agreed upon. King and Bandido brawl with the Bucks to the back as the Death Riders beat down the ops at ringside. Darby Allin's music hits and runs down to the ring to even the odds. He goes straight after Moxley, then drop kicks him into the corner. A hooded figure blindsides Allin from behind and reveals himself to be Daniel Garcia. He sends Allin crashing into the mat and fires off stomps on him on top of a chair that Shafir handed to him. He flies off knees on his oblique and leaves with Moxley and Shafir as Allin is left laid out in the ring and the show goes off the air. Why, Danny? Why?
You know what? I think this is perfect for Daniel Garcia. Because Daniel Garcia has been, ever since he has lost, he had the TNT title, what, 6 months ago? 4 months ago?
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Ever since he has got rid of that title, I feel like there's been a void of Daniel Garcia. Like there's nowhere to put him. Now I think we found a place to put him. The only problem is, and I would love to see this storyline, I think he kicks you out of the Death Riders.
That is exactly what Majin, I was just getting ready to pop this up when you were done. Does Danny joining mean Caveman is going to get kicked out?
I think they have beef, and I think they end up having a match, and I think Danny goes over and kicks Yuta out of the Death Riders, which would make the Death Riders even stronger. But leading up to that, I think you're going to have Daddy Magic confront Garcia here soon, and that gives you a match on Collision or gives you a match on Dynamite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Daddy Magic
probably Collision
gonna say, what the hell you doing? So you got a little filler there. It gives time for Danny to tell his story, the reason why, and then right after he gets rid of Daddy Magic, he goes right after Yuta and kicks Yuta out of the Death Riders. And then all of a sudden, the Death Riders become a lot stronger without Yuta having Daniel Garcia there.
Okay. Majin says he thinks it's going to hurt Danny more. Death Riders have been boring as all hell. Now he's in there in a team nobody gives a damn about. I don't see how this will help him. But see, here's my question. If you watch the Titantron video for Death Riders, Pac is still listed in that video or shown in that video. So does Danny fill in for Pac? Does this cause the Death Riders to fully break down because Pac comes back and says, what the hell, you filled my spot?
All right, refill my drink. Why has he been gone? Is it visa issues or injury?
Both, I think.
Is it both?
I don't know. Let me Google it real quick.
That's why, Paul, you're the professor, man. That's why we're asking you. Professor Paul.
No, that's my dad.
Oh. Well, I mean.
Due to an ankle injury.
You do have his genes, so. And we're not talking Wranglers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says due to an ankle injury.
So he's out. He's legit injured.
Yes. Yep. Any visa stuff is just his previous stuff. So,
well, if he has a visa issue, that means he's got a bad credit score. Nope. Come on, give me a little. That was funny, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not all of us have American Express ship.
Shit, either do I. Wife took that away from me.
But you have one.
I did at one point. I was having too much fun with it. Yeah, this is going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, didn't you buy, you know, like a $1,000 pair of shoes or something?
They were not that much. Still over my shoulder. And let's change the subject, asshole. Yeah, no. Anyways, Garcia to the Death Riders. I think it'll help them. Eventually, we've always talked about this, especially with the Moxley title run. You know, eventually Moxley's going to need to take a break.
At some point, you'd think.
You know, I know the schedule is a lot easier in AEW than it is in Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
They do one house show a quarter, maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's working Wednesdays. Sometimes he more than likely doesn't work Fridays. So maybe that's why he hasn't taken a break. I know he was scheduled to take a break when the whole shit went down before. Canceled his honeymoon or whatever it was to be a company man. So, I don't see that. Eventually, it's going to happen, but I think right now the Death Riders are going to get really, really strong. You took the belt off of Moxley, so I think they're going to really build him up. Okay. So, Danny Garcia joining just helps that argument.
All right. So. That does it for Dynamite. Did you watch any of Collision?
The commercial. The last commercial of Dynamite, I believe, was a Collision ad. Am I right?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah. So. All right. So, we see Mark Briscoe choose his stipulation, which I'm scrolling through trying to find, and it just says there will be no disqualifications. It's Briscoe. That's a given. We see Konosuke Takeshita versus Anthony Bowens in a unified championship eliminator match. Well, it's an eliminator match. I wonder if Bowens won this. No.
What are they going to do with him? I think
we'll get to that.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
All right, fine.
I didn't mean to like interrupt you.
I'll go to it. Max Caster. Speaking of Bowens, Caster has an open challenge. Your favorite guy answers the call.
Big Bill?
Yep. I wondered if you'd catch on to that or not.
I like Big Bill. Until the next pay-per-view, which we'll get into a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. After the match, Bill got on the mic. He asked Kingston where he was at. He said that fans on the internet think Bill doesn't deserve to share a ring with Kingston. Shep's one of those fans. He says the fans love Eddie because he looks like them and Bill looks like he does. He said they like Eddie because he worships Japanese legends and he hates Japanese wrestling. Bill said the location is next Saturday at All Out. He says Eddie won't show up because he's a typical loudmouth fraud.
I love that Eddie posted on his Twitter, the contract was sent, the money was right, it is signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yes.
I love that he said the money was right.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's obviously still under contract because of injury.
Oh, yeah.
But you might as well bring that up. So I love mm-hmm. that part of it. So we're going to get I'm sorry. We're going to get the return. We're going to return of Eddie Kingston, which I've been asking for the last 4 months.
And I've got a feeling I know who your pick is for that match. You're picking Big Bill.
Yes, and
he's your hero.
If that's the case, I'm starting a 100 calorie a day diet the next day.
Wow! All right. So we were talking about Caster and Bowens. Caster runs into Bowens backstage. It turns into a brawl. They brawled into the ring. Jerry Lynn broke it up and talked about the Acclaimed on how they thought they'd go on singles runs and be successful. Bowens started to leave when Blake Christian and Lee Johnson come out. Christian told Lynn he shouldn't waste his time on the Acclaimed and should focus on them. Lynn took off his shirt and he and Caster fought. Bowens finally came back to help and they cleaned house. Lynn puts Caster and Bowens' hands in the air, but they both get out of the ring and shake their heads. So a little bit of a tease of the return of the Acclaimed.
It works. I thought they were a great tag team. They were entertaining. I really wanted to see what Bowen could do on his own. Care less about Max. And I feel like Bowen has not got a fair shake.
No, he hasn't.
Or had the chance to give a fair shake. So if you're scrambling to save these two guys, then yeah, throw them back together and have a rah-rah moment when they win their first tag team match. This is the only thing.
All right, so back to TGY's comment from earlier about $500,000 all-star tag matches. We got Chris Statlander, Harley Cameron, Jamie Hayter, and TJ versus the Triangle of Madness, Megan Bain, and Penelope Ford. With Storm on commentary.
I bet she did a hell of a job.
This is why you need to go back and watch it, Shep. I mean, I don't think you could contain yourself. We know Majin couldn't have. Majin probably had a heart attack during this match or passed out from all the excitement. I keep waiting for his comment.
Okay, keep going.
Triangle of Madness, Megan Bain, and Penelope Ford pick up the victory. So, props to Megan Bain for being in two places at once.
Oh, yeah, she was an indie, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She's really good.
Somebody didn't think that through.
Well, part of her contract. That's obviously why you're getting paid. Then you can go do the indies on the weekend. because you've already taped your TV throughout the week. So,
yeah. Post-match, Stat and Tekla go at it. Mina and Aminata come down. Mina hit Megan and Penelope in the head with a cooler. Aminata hit Julia with a spatula. Tony jumped off the commentary table and took out the heels. Back in the ring, Hayter and Stat continue to fight in the ring while women battle on the ramp. Storm hits Storm Zero on Tekla. And that wrapped that match.
I'm kind of on the fence on this whole Tekla thing. She's okay. But I don't know if she's main event stuff yet. But
well, I mean, is Stat main event stuff?
Should be.
Exactly.
She should be.
Thank you for agreeing with me. God, I've been pulling for Stat since she went out on injury the first time.
She's right there. She's right there with Mercedes. I was kind of hoping you'd choke on your energy drink when I said that. You're welcome.
Wow.
You're welcome. That was funny.
Wow. You just compared Stat and Monet and said they're the same. Majin,
Monet has
some comment.
Monet has more belts.
In other news, Majin says Willow should be in the
main. Silence is powerful over there.
No, I was just trying to bite my tongue and not say what I wanted to say.
You know, I was with Majin. I think Willow is. I think Willow is there. I think she's above Miv card, but I don't think she's world champion yet. I would love to see Willow take the ROH title off of Athena.
Ooh.
I would love to see that. And then obviously have Athena go after Tony and let's have a real feud. Like, let's give it 6 months of them two going at each other.
Mm.
And if you're going to have that, in that 6 months, you need that belt off of Athena. I think Willow's the person to take that off of there. You know, Willow already held that New Japan Strong title when Mercedes got hurt. So she has some
experience. The rightful owner.
She's had some experience holding a belt, and I think that'll be her next belt. Should be her next belt, I should say.
Yeah, that title looked better on Willow than it did Mercedes. Just saying.
So bitter.
I don't care that they created that title just for Mercedes.
So bitter. You're about as bitter as Tanner is tonight about losing to the Colts.
No, he's still more bitter than I am.
Yeah. I mean, Tanner's so bitter, he's not even listening, guys, because I figured we'd get a comment by him by now.
He's driving.
Well, you can still put us on Bluetooth and listen to us as you're going up Highway 69.
You just wanted to say that.
I mean, actually, that's how Tanner really gets home is Highway 69. But
yeah, but then see, he'd have to, you know, push the button on his little screen and say, comment this to this. And it's too much work. Have you ever seen him do speech to text? It's terrible.
No, I have not. In fact, I've not seen Tanner because I still haven't given him his belt yet.
Yeah, you better do that. Well, Friday,
if he comes to town.
Yeah. Who knows with him?
Yeah.
All right. FTR versus Adam Priest and Tommy Billington 2. We saw this match last week. It ended the same way with FTR picking up the victory.
Just trying to bide some time for them to get to Edge and Cope in Toronto.
Edge and Cope? Those are the same people.
Or Cope and, sorry, Cope and Christian. Cope and Christian, sorry. Edge and Christian, Cope and Christian.
Edge and Cope. Yeah, it's all
the Edge same. And Cope. You knew what I was talking about.
I did.
Are we gonna get a? I think we talked about this last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago with Tanner. Are we gonna get a stipulation to that match? Is it gonna be a gimmick match?
or is it going to be just a straight up wrestling match?
As of right now, it's just listed as a tag match, no stipulation.
I think we get a stipulation.
We need a stipulation.
I think we get a, I mean, there's three things. You can have a Toronto street fight, a cage match.
Insert city name.
A cage match would be another one. You can't have a TLC match because there's no belt on the line. So there's no reason to have ladders. So,
well, I mean, winner gets a contract for a shot at the tag titles.
I mean, all of a sudden, put that together. All of a sudden, you have Money in the Bank for tag wrestlers. But I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I guess it could be done, but I still think we get a little gimmick to it.
You could do hockey stick on a pole match.
Quit making fun of Majin.
I think he commented that last week.
I think he did too. Wait, copy from me. Wait, get your own material, Paul, will you?
No.
Don't steal from my boy Majin.
The best comedians steal from other people. The best wrestlers steal moves from other people.
Cena did that in his last match.
Mm-hmm.
He had a little bit of everything in there.
And the people who should no longer be in the ring ripped their jeans.
Next.
Michael Oku versus Okada in a unified championship eliminator match.
Well, I wonder who won here.
The champion, of course.
Well, yeah, he's going to eliminate his possibilities.
Yeah. After the match, Callis joins Okada in the ring. Kesta comes out and pointed at Okada. I think we're going to see these two for this title. It makes sense.
It does.
Oh, Majin says it was Stephen Chambers who made the comment last week about the hockey stick on a pole.
On the pole match, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, as long as they keep Mama Wayne off that pole, we're good. She's on mine.
I was waiting for the Christian versus Shep Mama Wayne on a pole match.
Oh, I would literally choke that turtleneck out. He go night-night.
Moving on. John Moxley and Daniel Garcia versus Paragon. I think Paragon's already fallen apart.
Yeah, I'd say that. Well, when's the last time you saw him on TV and before this week?
Last week.
On Collision, not Dynamite, right?
Yes, but of course it was O'Reilly. It was the conglomeration.
Yeah.
But, you know, still.
That could be one of the biggest flops of AEW. Bigger than Punk is Adam Cole. Just saying.
Yeah. So we're getting, I apparently did not see this. Apparently it's a triple threat at All Out for the unified title. It was qualifiers, not eliminators. Then why do they call them eliminators? As of right now, Takeshita Okada and to be determined. I'll have to go look and
Takeshita's hot right now, boys and girls. Just saying.
Yeah.
Not throwing my picks out there, but he's hot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The last entrant will either be Marsaka Dorada, probably just butchered that name, or the Beast Mortos. It'll be the Beast.
Beast Mortos.
He's kind of Beast Mortos up. Will be the third person in there.
He's kind of hooked up backstage, if you know what I mean there, Paulie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's got a little Monet going on.
Majin's calling you out for your man crush, Shep.
Sorry, I see talent when I see talent. I called that he won the G1 and he would main event Tokyo Dome. Sorry.
Tokyo Dome.
Actually, he doesn't get to main event in Tokyo Dome as of right now because he's using his title shot in October. Don't really care for that. There's some show in October he's using his stip. So hopefully he wins the title then. If he wins it in October, then obviously we'll see him there. But
uh-huh.
Got a little cart ahead of the horse. So
all right. That's what we need to do. We need to Majin. Next week you have a job, so you better
be here.
I want you to keep track of how many times Shep says Tokyo Dome in one podcast.
Tell you what, every time I say Tokyo Dome in the podcast, Majin, you have to take a shot of Canadian whiskey of your choice.
Dude, we're not getting him drunk.
Oh, I mean, I would legit like play along with the rules and just wouldn't like literally just go Tokyo Dome, Tokyo Dome, Tokyo Dome, shots. I mean, maybe.
You'd probably be like, so guys, the Tokyo Dome is definitely the place to go. We need to go over and get a match in the Tokyo Dome because the Tokyo Dome is the best place to wrestle. I don't
care. Hey, the Tokyo Dome is 97 days away to the Tokyo Dome. One of my favorite days of the year is watching the Tokyo Dome, Wrestle Kingdom in the Tokyo Dome. Yeah. Okay. All right. Speaking of that.
But anyway.
Oh, Crown isn't Lee. Hey, hold on, because I remember I saw this, and I gave him the open-ended question saying, hey, you can have your own Canadian whiskey you pick. I saw Crown was leaving. Now their Crown isn't leaving the country?
They're only closing down their main factory.
So there's more than one main factory in Canada. You got to fill me in here. I'm naive on Crown, so.
Yeah.
I saw one of the governors, mayors, or providences,
prime presidents, ministers,
whatever, dumping out Crown. I'm like, man, that's alcohol abuse, man.
He was pouring one out for the homies.
Yeah, well, he was pouring a lot out for the homies. I enjoy Crown. God, my ice machine is fucking loud. Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
That's my ice machine. I always feel every time it happens, I look through like somebody's coming through the door at me or something.
They said their goal is to keep it being a Canadian brand. They have no reason to move yet. They want to keep it in Canada.
Yeah. Hey, hope they do. I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you, if we're going to drink some whiskey and Cokes, Crown's my go-to over Jack and Jim Beam all day long.
Okay.
It's just me.
So Garcia and Moxley pick up the win over Paragon.
Shocker.
After the match, Daddy Magic confronted Garcia, who ignored him. Marina flipped him off, and they left.
So we're going to get Daddy Magic and Garcia this week at Dynamite.
Yes.
Told you.
Well, it hasn't been announced, but yes.
You'll make a bet?
No. I don't bet. I don't have money to bet.
Well, I didn't say we had to bet money. If I win, if they announce that match Friday night when we do the prediction show, every time Tanner makes a statement, you got to say, fuck you, Tanner. Like Tanner could say, hey, guys, all right, welcome to the podcast. We're going to do our prediction show. It's a statement. You go, fuck you, Tanner. Yes. Yes. Let's do it. Deal.
All right. All right. All right. If they announce that match, if it happens on Dynamite, I will be saying fuck you, Tanner, a lot.
And you know what? And unless he listens to this tomorrow, which he might, that'll be hilarious.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
It'll be hilarious if he doesn't listen to it. And then he just
and then all of a sudden I'm just like, fuck you, Tanner.
Just getting brutally attacked by Paul. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that does it for AEW this week. Shep, what would you rate AEW this week?
I thought Dynamite was solid. Again, I didn't watch Collision, but overall, I thought their little residency at the 2300 Arena was good. I enjoy the intimate venues. I enjoyed the way the cameras were set up. It literally looked like a bingo hall. Oh, wait, it is a fucking bingo hall. But anyways, yeah. I don't know. It looked good. I thought they did a great job with it. They incorporated ECW as much as they could. I would give this week's AEW television show, I would give it a solid 7.4.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
I can agree with you. I'll go higher this week since I went lower last week. I'll go 7.5.
Okay. Yeah.
And Majin, hold on. I'm getting there.
What's our next residency? We got is it Chicago? I mean, it's a month or so away, but I think it's Chicago the next time we do a little hangout spot.
AEW, there's also a planned residency in Chicago at the Bylink Bank Aragon Ballroom. That was earlier this year. Reportedly considering another residency at the Hammerstein Ballroom in NYC in December.
Okay. Hammerstein's good.
Yeah. That's what I'm seeing, at least.
I know that ballroom they did in Chicago was really cool too. So
yeah, I just love how I'm looking at this and it says current residency, the 2300 Arena, upcoming July 16th through the 31st in Chicago. I'm like, that's already passed. How can you be talking about this like that? Anyway, Shep, who's your wrestler of the week?
Oh, we're going old school, huh?
We are.
We're going old school. The easy choice is maybe the best female wrestler right now going on. But I'm going to let you have her, if that's the way you choose. I'm going to say the rest of the week, making a move, changing his character, changing his plot, is Danny Garcia.
Okay. And I am going female, but not that one. In a losing effort, Sky Blue.
Okay. All right. I thought she looked good in that match.
I don't think that
match hurt her. So
no. And if you look back, several of the hardcore, we'll call them, women's matches have involved Sky Blue. That's the type of wrestling she enjoys doing. So putting her in these matches is always great, and she looks good doing it.
There you go.
So
just like when you buy some KOP merch, you look good wearing it.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And so, Homie G in Canada, I sent your shirt the other day. It's on its way. Little, it's in Ontario, Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, Ontario, or Beaver Lane, Ontario, or Beaver up there, your mom lane, wherever it was going, Ontario Beaver. It's Beaver something. The gentleman has said he's listened to the podcast for 3 years, so we certainly appreciate him. Hope you enjoy my humor. Because I do. But yeah, your shirt is in the mail.
Glad somebody does.
Now, somebody's got to put up with my ass.
Yeah. Other than your wife and kids.
God, my wife probably hates me. That's okay. My kids, I think, hate me.
you want to talk some history to wrap the show like we did last week?
Let's do it. I love history.
All right. Well, first and foremost, back in the year 1992, Penelope Ford was born.
I was 10.
Penelope Ford was born.
Okay, so she's 32. Good for her.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here.
Is this today? 10 years. So her birthday's today.
Today.
Oh,
September 14th, 1992.
Cool people are born in September. Just saying.
You weren't though.
I was born September 30th. Little shithead.
Oh, I don't know why I was thinking you were born in August.
No, that's Tanner.
No, he's in February. I'm in August.
Oh, I was going to say, never mind.
Ah.
No, I'm a September baby. Cool people are born in September. We like to rock. We like to rock the Indian summers and party.
Anyway.
So, anyways, next.
September 14th, 1997. There was a little pay-per-view held called WCW Fall Brawl War Games.
War Games. I love War Games.
The main event was a War Games cage match pitting the New World Order against the Four Horsemen.
The NWO.
Not a good name for a chili team, by the way.
No, it worked out. It completely fucking backfired. people literally got mad at us and said the chili cook-off's not supposed to be political.
And like, and it wasn't political.
It wasn't political. It
was wrestling.
We were literally wearing NWO Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hogan shirts, all three of us. And the lady came up and she's like, I don't understand your team name. I'm like, it's just a fun joke between us three guys. She's like, well, the chili cook-off's not supposed to be political. No New World Order. You guys are trying to be weird. I'm like, lady, we're talking about wrestling in the 90s. Like, get off my ass.
New World Order.
I hope you choke on the chili I just served you. Anyways. So in 90s, you said 96, right?
Seven.
97. The 97 Four Horsemen would have been Ric Flair, Benoit, Mongo, and Malenko? Am I close?
Well, it doesn't say.
Oh.
But I will say this. Exactly 1 year later, because a major twist, Kurt Hennig betrayed the Four Horsemen and revealed himself to be aligned with the NWO.
I forgot it was Kurt Hennig. It wasn't Mongo. Hold on.
And what then was exactly.
You said 96?
Seven. Seven.
WCW. Hold on. I'm going to look this up. This is bothering me.
All right. Well, while you look that up,
Fall Brawl.
Exactly 1 year later, September 14th, 1998. Ric Flair made a surprise return on WCW Monday Nitro to announce that the Four Horsemen would reform, this time comprising of Flair, Benoit, Dean Malenko, and Steve McMichael.
I was close. All right, so your Four Horsemen. The NWO was Buff Bagwell, Kevin Nash, Conan, and Six.
Okay.
Okay. Defeated the Four Horsemen, Chris Benoit, Ric Flair, Steve Mongo McMichaels. So I was 3 out of 4,
mm-hmm.
and Kurt Hennig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A year later, they added Malenko.
Actually, so let's just go through this card because we got what the fuck else we got to do.
And Eddie Guerrero defeated Jericho to win the WCW Cruiserweight Championship.
So the match before the co-main event was Diamond Dallas Page and Lex Luger mm-hmm. defeated the NWO, Randy Savage and Scott Hall in a no DQ match. The Giant defeated Scott Norton in a singles match. It went a whopping 5 minutes and 27 seconds.
Yep.
In a tag match, Worth and Mortis defeated the Faces of Fear, Ming and the Barbarian. They went 12 minutes, which seems like a lot to me. In a singles match, Jeff Jarrett defeated Dean Malenko, went 14 Ooh. Minutes. In a WCW Television Championship match, Alex yeah. Wright defeated the Ultimo Dragon. The match went 18 minutes and 43 seconds.
Wow. That seems
like a fucking lot. In a tag team match, Rick Steiner and Scott Tiner, with Ted DiBiase in their corner, defeated Harlem Heat, Booker T and Stevie Ray with Miss Jacqueline, and the lead off the pay-per-view singles match for the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. Eddie Guerrero defeated Chris Jericho for the championship. And that match went 17 minutes and 19 seconds. How the hell do you give Alex Wright and Ultimo Dragon 18 minutes on that card?
I don't know.
If I remember, Alex Wright was not the best wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah. So we talked about in 98, Flair reforming the Four Horsemen. 99, on an episode of SmackDown, Triple H defended the WWE Championship and lost to his, at the time, 54-year-old father-in-law, who would then go on to vacate the title the following Monday. 2008, at TNA No Surrender from Ottawa, Samoa Joe defeated Christian Cage and Kurt Angle in a triple threat match to retain the TNA World Heavyweight title. We also saw Beer Money unsuccessfully challenge LAX for the TNA World Tag Titles, and AJ Styles fought to a no contest with Frank Trigg in a three-round MMA match.
Frank Trigg was an MMA guy, wasn't he?
Yep.
Obviously.
Awesome Kong defeated ODB in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Abyss and Matt Morgan beat Team 3D in tag team action. And Jay Lethal faced Sonjay Dutt in a Ladder of Love match.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. 2015. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying next. Like,
oh,
you don't even talk about any of that shit.
No. 2015, Sting competed in his first and last match on WWE Raw. Wow, I can talk. In the opening bout, he defeated Big Show by disqualification and then turned around and had a match that night in the main event where he teamed with John Cena to once again beat Big Show and Seth Rollins. So
is that the match where Seth hurt him?
I think so.
Yeah. Where he threw him up against the guardrail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2021, Trick Williams debuted. And let's see, the WWE/NXT Cruiserweight Championship was established on this date in 2016.
Yeah, not a lot going on this date.
No, it's kind of a boring day in professional wrestling. But it happens. It happens.
Shit happens, man.
So, anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we're good. I mean, we talked about AJ Lee last week.
Still lighting up the ring.
Still lighting up the ring. I think that's going to be your predominant story in WWE for a while. Mm-hmm. I think it's overshadowing some of the things. So,
I know what I want to talk about. The hostages that Triple H brought with him during the announcement of next year's WrestleMania or 2027's WrestleMania being in Saudi Arabia.
Okay, say that again.
The hostages that H brought with him during the Saudi Arabia WrestleMania announcement.
Okay, all right, fill me
you
in.
You look confused. Have you not seen the announcement?
I watched the announcement. Yeah, he had some superstars behind him.
And not a single one of them looked happy to be there. They all literally looked like they were being held hostage. Except Liv Morgan, who was smiling all over the place.
Well, yeah, you realize because of how big of a paycheck she's going to have, whether she's on the show or not, she's going to get a paycheck.
See, Majin gets it. None of them looked happy to be there. Even Vakir, who signed a lowball deal to fulfill a dream to go there. Liv was smiling, but you know that was faked.
Yeah. I guess I didn't look into that much. I mean, they're all
Taker didn't even look like Taker with that goatee he had going on.
Well, he's got
on.
Like a red goatee thing going on.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But I mean, Sean just looked like, oh God, is it over yet?
Nah, I mean, come on, let's be honest. They're doing it for a paycheck.
Oh, definitely doing it.
I listened to Busted Open throughout the week, and I mean, every caller, there were some callers in there that just, yeah, they made valid points. Don't get me wrong. They made valid points, but at the end of the day, man, fucking money talks and bullshit walks. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to pay rumored what I heard for a 2-day event, they're going to pay him $100 million. I mean, shit, it's a no brainer.
Yeah.
They didn't know the camera was on them.
I don't know how well you can see this. I shared this on Facebook. It says when your wife and your girlfriend both have to attend your funeral.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, those two girls just realized the only person hitting on them is Tanner Lee. That's the look they get.
And that's the only person who liked this.
Makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I don't have the book they call Face, so I couldn't like it, Paul.
That's okay. I wouldn't have expected you to like it.
Yeah. Me don't do social media. So
No, you don't.
Yes, I did hear the crowds yelling, "You sold out."
You sold out, yeah.
Yeah, I did hear that. There's a handful. There's a majority of Americans that are kind of pissed that WrestleMania is not going to be in the lower 48 or even up in Canada.
Yeah. So, Majin says Taker looks more like Roadkill these days than Paul does. Finally, somebody who doesn't think I look like Roadkill as much anymore.
Well, if you put on a white dress shirt, you do look like Roadkill.
Not happening. Not happening.
I'm just saying. I make it.
Anything else you got tonight, Shep?
No, man. I think it was a decent week in wrestling. A lot of shit going on in the world nowadays, Paul, and I don't want to get into that. But I love that we can get away from all that bullshit and all come together and talk about wrestling and watch wrestling. There's wrestling damn near 5 nights a week now. And it's our getaway. And so I love that we can all come together, whether we agree upon Mercedes being the best wrestler in the world, which we all agree besides Paul. No, just joking.
Monet sucks. That's nice. How she got so many titles, too.
Whoa. That's even low for me. I would never say it. That's you can't. You got like HR is going to call you in the morning. OK.
All right, I'll tell Tanner to fuck you, Tanner.
No, I'm just saying I love that we all come together and we can agree, disagree about wrestling, but at the end of the day, we all get along and we're all wrestling fans and brings us together, so it's fun. So I hope everybody has a great week, and you know, I think that's where we're going to end it. I'm going to finish drinking my cocktail. And who's playing? I don't even know who's playing Sunday Night Football, Paul.
I don't know.
I think it's Vikings. And I think it's Vikings Falcons, maybe. I don't know. I'm going to sit down, enjoy another cocktail, watch a little football, and then start the week new. And then I guess we're going to talk to everybody Friday night.
Sure.
Is that what Tanner? Is that what your boss said earlier?
I think that's what the boss man said earlier.
All right.
By the way, yes, Falcons, Vikings.
Okay, we're going to try to do a prediction show on Friday night. Pay-per-view starts 3 o'clock, I see, on Saturday.
3 o'clock Saturday.
3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So I don't know with what time everybody is up in Canada. Eastern Standard Time is the only cool time we go with. So
that's what time we are. So
I know that that's Central Time. That Central Time stuff sucks.
Yeah,
you literally drive 30 miles west from here, and you go into Central Time. It's weird.
Look, weird. I just want to go back to the days when your show either came on an hour earlier or an hour later.
Oh yeah, that shit was fun.
Yeah,
you either watched the shit at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, but you planned your day around it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fucking Ralph Nader.
Anyway.
I don't know.
Was he
daylight? Who was the guy that was daylight savings time?
I don't know. I'm not Googling that.
It wasn't Ralph Nader. It sounded funny. I pulled that out of my ass.
I'm not Googling that. I'm gonna wrap the show.
Hold on. Go ahead.
I'll wait on you, Shep. I'll be nice. I mean, we're only, an hour and 40 minutes into this.
Time president. All right, let's see who it was.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. We're not even close. Lyndon B. Johnson in 1966.
There you go.
All right.
There you go. Now you know. He was
the one that standardized daylight savings time across the nation.
Asshole.
Fucking Lyndon B. Johnson. LBJ, baby.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's another subject.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
So be sure to follow the Kicking Out Podcast on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. Be sure to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast wherever it is you listen to your podcast, and don't forget to leave us that 5-star review, because we are 5-star KOP. Head over to kickingoutshop.com, where you can get some great merchandise, support a great podcast, and look fantastic doing so. And Shep, which shirt did you buy for the gentleman who won hashtag Paul's Picks?
He went old school. He went the old school KOP shirt. The old KOP on the front. So
nice. You can also head over to prowrestlingtees.com and search up Kicking Out Podcast and get some really old school designs there. Be sure to follow the sore loser known as Tanner Lee at TannerLee92 on all social media. Follow Austin Shepherd at TheShep27 on Twitter and Instagram, because that's all he has. He doesn't do social media. And be sure to follow myself at PaulZartman87. And with that, for the non-existent Tanner Lee and Austin Shepherd, I'm Paul Zartman. Join us again next week as we kick out yet another podcast.
This is where I say goodbye and good night.